I just thank you. And God, one of the things I know is this, that in and of myself, I am not sufficient to think that anything comes from me. But I also know this, Father, I have been made sufficient, just like every one of us in here. We have been made sufficient as ministers of the gospel, not of the letter that kills, but of the spirit that gives life. Father, I thank you that in this place today, what takes place is life. And as I minister your word and share your word, life takes place, revelation, insight, understanding, you know, just greater knowledge of you and your word and the Holy Spirit and how the gifts of the Spirit work through us. Father, through the body of Jesus, it's who we are. So I thank you for that sufficiency. I thank you for the miraculous. I thank you for the supernatural. And I thank you for the everyday little things that make an eternal difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you could take your Bibles this morning, if you would, please, and open up to two passages of Scripture to get started. The first one is going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the second one is going to be found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to dive into this today, but we're going to dive in. You ever been standing at the edge of a lake or at the edge of a pool and you weren't sure how you were going to get in? So what's your preference in getting in? I'd like to know. How many like to just dive in, just cannonball in right off the bat? Can I see all the cannonballers, divers, just in, just how it, just boom all at once? I'm just about maybe 20% of us. How many of us in here are toe dippers? You know, you just do that. Okay, about 10%, and then there's a large number of us, we're not sure. I guess you're the ones that just get pushed in. By the cannonballers. So anyway, glory to God. Let's start with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, we've been talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we got to look at three of them last week, and we're going to for sure look at three more this week. Maybe we'll get through all six of them. But when I start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I've been around for a long time. I've been ministering for, I've been a Christian for over 35 years now, ministering for over 30 years. Been around, got to see quite a few things, a lot of different, you know, places to minister in different ways and things like that. And when you get talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, I think sometimes people forget the really practical aspects of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. I love the miraculous. I love the supernatural. I love the instant. I love the spontaneous things. You know, the suddenlies. I love those things. Praise God for them. Amen? And I actually want more of them. But I'm also thoroughly convinced of this, that those everyday little things can have an influence on the spectacular and the supernatural. And I think sometimes people get so after the spectacular, they forget the everyday nuts and bolts of Christianity. And, you know, how many of you have ever put taken a piece of equipment apart and you put it back together and you had a few pieces left over? Did you wonder, how's this going to work? And maybe you didn't notice anything for a while, but over a period of time. It can be that way in our Christianity. So it's important to have those little things, and we call them little, but I don't really think they're little. But Romans chapter 8, we'll just look at this first. Here's just something about the Holy Spirit that I love so much. And I'd encourage you, I'm not going to read all of these scriptures right now, but I would encourage you to read Romans chapter 8. Actually, you ought to back up into chapter 7. But read, if you read from Romans 8, 1 down through Romans 8:16, you will find the word Spirit with a capital S 15 times in those 16 verses. So the Holy Spirit is mentioned a lot. Amen? I wonder if he plays any part in what's going on in these verses of Scripture. And what's really amazing here is in the end of Romans chapter 7, Paul is talking about a wrestling match that he has. And I think most of us in here have related to Paul's wrestling match. We've probably experienced it in our own life. And that was this. The very thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing that I don't want to do, I do. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever experienced that? Paul gets to the end of chapter 7 and says, you know, who's going to deliver me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he highlights Jesus, and then you go into chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now jump with me, if you would, please, over to verse 13 of chapter 8. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now notice the last half of this verse. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What is a role that the Holy Spirit plays in our everyday life? And I like this verse of Scripture, the second half. If you, turn and look at somebody and say, you. You. Turn and look at somebody and now point at yourself and say, this means me. Talking about me right now. Talking about you right now. Okay? But if you, by the Spirit. You and who? You and the Spirit. Working together. You and the Holy Spirit working together. But if you, by the Spirit, do what? Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Could the deeds of the flesh have anything to do with sin? How many in here have ever struggled with a temptation, struggled with a sin on more than one occasion? It got you. But what are we able to do, but we don't do it by ourselves? But if you, by the Spirit, will put to death the deeds of the body. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does, he helps us put to death the deeds of the body. He helps us put to death our lust, our greed, our selfishness, our me first. I mean, he just helps us. I think we ought to do this. We ought to look at this and go, Holy Spirit, I want that thing to die. So you and me, we're going to hook up together. Because I can't kill that thing on my own. I've tried. And I have been unsuccessful, and you know it well. Thank God for forgiveness. But you and me working together, we're going to put that thing to death. So thank you, Holy Spirit. You and me, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Glory to God. And, you know, it would be like this. And notice the Holy Spirit does it with you. He doesn't do it by himself. Now, there's a verse of Scripture over in Romans where it talks about... we're right there. We're close enough. We're in that verse of Scripture. We're right there. Jump to verse 26. Back up to verse 28. No, you are listening. Yay, it worked. No. Back up to 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly await for what is perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Okay, could we maybe have just talking about some of our weaknesses? I didn't give an amen on that. Right, when we were talking about sin, could we be talking about some of our weaknesses? Our inability to kill that thing on our own? Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. There's an interpretation that goes along with this verse of Scripture, and it says this. The Holy Spirit, he helps us, takes hold together with. Takes hold together with. Go ahead and say that out loud. Takes hold together with. Scotty, if you would, please. Scotty and I, we're going to do something here. Come on. You get that in. We are taking hold together. We're taking hold together, right? We're taking hold together, and now we're going to take hold together against something. What are we going to, yeah. We're going to take hold together, each of us, with, against gravity. Okay? That's what we do. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with us. He wants to take hold together with us, the two of us together, take hold together with against. Yeah. He will come against that thing with you as you take hold of it. But what happens if you don't take hold of it? See, it's together. Something I'm learning about this Christian life is how much of it is together. Together with each other, and together with the Holy Spirit, together with the Word of God, together. How many of you, you know, just, you're sitting here going, okay, Holy Spirit, come on. We got something to go take on. Amen. We got something to take hold of together, and we're going to come against that thing. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like the everyday nuts and bolts practical things that the Holy Spirit does for us in our Christian walk. Somebody say amen. Now point and look at somebody and say, I know he was preaching that for your benefit. Oh, okay, I want to read a few more here. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Oh, I like that. I love that. I need the leading of the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Now notice verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You want to know another thing the Holy Spirit does? Now, did you catch that there, the last part? But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. How many of you know another translation that can be put for that Abba, Father? Dearest Daddy. What's that sound like to you? Dearest Daddy. My two daughters, I love it. Breezy started it. Heather's doing it. You know what they started calling me? Daddy. Oh, I tell you, to hear Breezy say Daddy. To hear Heather say Daddy. Oh, it's different than Dad. It's different than Father. There's a difference to it. What's it talk about? It talks about a closeness. Just if you will let me say this, just a deep, rich, special, shared intimacy that we have. What's the Holy Spirit do? He helps us with that in our relationship with our Father. Anybody in here ever have trouble feeling accepted, close, valued, and loved by the Father to the degree that He loves you? You ever wrestle with that? You know what? The Holy Spirit will help you with that. The Holy Spirit will bring revelation so strong into our hearts. We will realize that God loves me, He likes me, and He has fun hanging out with me. You know, why don't you just turn to look at somebody and say, yeah, God likes me. Go ahead, He likes you. So are some of you like, no, I don't know if I can say that. You know, I hope you can say that. He likes me. He does. He likes me. Okay, just would you try it again. Just say this. He likes me. And try to do it like Mikey. You know, like, he likes it. Little Mikey on the commercials. Some of you got no clue what I'm talking about at all. He likes me. God really does like me. Amen. He wants to be with me. He wants to be with you. Even when you don't like you, He likes you. He doesn't necessarily like everything you do. Amen. I don't like everything I do. But he likes me. And the Holy Spirit helps me with that. He helps me realize I can cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy. Daddy. How many of you would say, I'll take more of that. I'll take more help from the Holy Spirit. I want to have greater revelation of that and greater insight of love. And how much greater revelation and insight could we have? Well, how great is the Father's love? So we can all keep growing more in the greatness of the Father's love for us. Wow. I don't think I would have paid for me what he paid for me. I don't think so. I think I'd have looked down, seen me, and well, nope, not that one. Now, David, yeah. That guy, no. But he loves us so much. Amen? Just a thought of the practical, the everyday nuts and bolts, in and out, of how the Holy Spirit helps us with our life. Amen? To have that, God, I want you, Holy Spirit. Amen? So, that was my little part there. Now, jump over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12. It's going to just pick it up at verse 17. Y'all doing okay? Amen. Got any happy people in the house? Amen. Got any grumpy people in the house? Who said, oh yeah? Shem, you said that out loud. Got any honest people in the house? Oh, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just start at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What do we know from that verse of Scripture? We know that everyone in this room has at least one manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the profit of all. Every one of us has at least one, amen? Every one of us. That means these manifestations of the Spirit are going to be happening through us. And it's for the profit of all. For to one was given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just individually as he wills. So whose will is involved here? The Holy Spirit's will. Amen? He distributes individually to each one as he wills. It's not as I will, and it's not as you will. It's as he wills. But we know this, it's for the profit of all. Amen? Did Mike cut out for a bit there or not? Okay, good. So, each one has at least one gift. We went over three of them last week. This week we're going to go over three new ones. And then I want to just say a couple of things here. Sometimes when it comes to giving definitions to faith, working of miracles, you know, gifts of healings, did you know you can't turn to a chapter and verse in the Bible and it'll tell you what this gift of faith, or as it's referred to by a lot of people, you can't find a chapter or verse that says, well, the gift of special faith is. You can't find that. So I always like to share people, where do I get the things that I share with you from, the things that I believe and the things that I teach? Where do I get them from? One, from God's Word. Two, from reading after and studying other people who were filled with the Holy Spirit and operated in the gifts of the Spirit and walked in them and taught about it and then shared those experiences. And I get those things from people from generations past, generations present, and a lot of different streams in the body of Christ. Not all from the same camp, if you will. You know, there's Smith Wigglesworth. I get stuff on the faith from Smith Wigglesworth. And then there's Heidi Baker. How many have heard of Heidi Baker? Okay, if you have, raise your hand a little bit bolder. Okay, an amazing woman of God in Mozambique. tremendously awesome woman of God. God sent her to Mozambique, and one of the reasons he sent her there was that was the poorest country on the continent of Africa. And wow, the things that she has got to do. It's kind of interesting. I've listened to her talk about what she's experienced and what she's seen, and it lines up with stuff that Kenneth Hagin Sr. had seen and experienced. And I'm like, here's two people that never met each other, maybe never even ever listened to each other, and yet their experiences are the same. They've seen the same things. So if you want to know, where'd you get what you're sharing? From all of those different sources. And then prayer, letting the Holy Spirit talk to me. Amen? But you know what? We need these gifts. And here's something that's also very true. The gifts of the Spirit oftentimes will work in harmony with each other. They will be interwoven. And it can be quite difficult to, you know, which one is that working there? But they often work together at the same time. Since I'm here, I want to share this. Is anybody in here, who in here has and what I want to, tongues, where it's tongues that gets interpreted in a public setting? How many people have been used in that venue? Can I see a show of hands? I know there's some. Okay. That gets interpreted. How many have been used in that? Okay, I'll just put my hand up. Okay, Donna, you have. Praise God. That's awesome. Anybody else? You know what? We're going to have to explore these gifts a whole lot more. Amen. We're going to have to explore them a whole lot more. Okay, how many in here have ever interpreted tongues? Raise your hand. Okay, got a couple right here. I have. Okay, one right there, over here. Amen. I'm learning stuff. Praise God. Now, okay. Sandy, I'll get you to help. You go ahead and stand up. I've watched. He goes, I'm a visitor, first time here, and he's already got me standing up in the sermon. Get used to it. That's what happens here. That was a great place for an amen. Amen. Not today. We'll save that for another day. And where is Mallory? Ah, so good, so good. But I have. I often will speak in tongues, and then there's somebody to interpret it. Remember what I said about together? Together? Tongues and interpretation are equivalent to prophecy. Okay? Now, I'm just going to goof around here a little bit, just go here. Do you like everything about me?
Absolutely.
No, I don't. You actually don't know me. So far is wonderful. It's awesome. It's amazing. But you know, as time goes by, we've never got to hang out a lot with each other. But as time goes by, she might find some things about me that just doesn't like. So that just gives her something to overcome, another place to walk in victory. Amen. But she has this gift, and I have my gift. We can't afford to let that get between us. Amen? Because we could be in a service someday, and I have a tongue. And Sandy has the interpretation. And she's a bit irritated with me. And she's thinking, you know what? I got that, but I'm going to stand here and be quiet. And let him look like he's out of place. See, it's to help each other. It's to benefit each other for the profit of all. You know, you will have a gift of the Spirit. And somebody else will have another gift of the Spirit. And those gifts will complement each other for the profit of all. You know, and I just exhort you, dig. Desire. Thank you, Sandy. And she likes everything about me. Yeah. I told you it was a happy day, just a good day. Let joy rule the day. We can settle up after church, okay? But lots of times the gifts work in cooperation with each other, which in times, places, we'll find that means that we work in cooperation with each other. So let me just jump into something. Going to talk today a little bit about, and I keep losing my spot in my notes. I know how you feel, Sherry. Things moving away and going away. The power gifts, gifts that do something. Power gifts, gifts that do something. One of those is the gift of faith. Now, this is a place where it gets really interesting in coming up with definitions, because I've run across different ones. Here's a definition. Faith, as it's written here, but a lot of people refer to it as special faith, to distinguish between faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and this faith that is a gift of the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's a manifestation. So let me share this here. The gift of faith is supernaturally given by the Holy Spirit, where something that is heard or desired by man or spoken by God shall eventually come to pass. The gift of faith is at work when a person receives supernatural help from God. This can be something that happens over a period of time. Here's an example. Daniel in the lion's den. How many of you, this is how I see this happening, and Marge gave our church a painting of Daniel in the lion's den, and it's so cool. I don't know if you've ever got to see it, but if you haven't, we'll dig it out and let you see it again. It's somewhere in the building. But how many of you picture Daniel when he's going to the lion's den, fighting and resisting, and they're dragging him and having to carry him? How many of you see that? How many of you see him just walking? He's maybe leading them. There's something at work in him. He knows. He's got a relationship with his father. And I love that picture that Marge has, because Daniel's in the lion's den. And he's just standing there like this, looking up at an opening, and there's a light. And you know, the angels shut the mouths of the lions. And you can see the lions all in the background behind Daniel. And some of them are cowering. Some of them are afraid. And Daniel is just standing there with the greatest peace. I've heard it said this way. The gift of faith is something that we'll receive from the Father. And the gift of working of miracles is the working of a miracle on behalf of someone. They're both supernatural. How many of you know getting tossed in the lion's den and not being eaten is supernatural? Amen? That's supernatural. How many of you know taking a rod and holding it up over the Red Sea and dividing the Red Sea is supernatural? One, special faith. One, working of miracles. Often when people get raised from the dead, they work in harmony, along with the gifts of healings. You can see those three same power gifts working together. So wouldn't it be really interesting, just to further on with the thought that we brought up before, let's say somebody in here has the gift of faith. Somebody in here has the working of miracles. And somebody in here has gifts of healings. And somebody's died. And those three people know what their gifts are. And those three people hook up together. And all three of them minister, and all three of their gifts are operating on behalf of that person. Wouldn't that be awesome? I just think that would be so cool. So cool. I don't think that has developed in the body of Christ to the degree that God wants it to develop. I share something with you. I believe that for too long, most of ministry has been seen from and of people who are on the platform. There should be far more ministry from folks in everyday life who aren't on the platform. Now, you know, we're talking about people getting raised from the dead. Why not you? Why not you? Wouldn't it be shocking? God wants to use you in the gift of working of miracles. I think it'd be awesome. That's what, please do me a favor. Don't just leave it up to the person on the platform. Don't just leave it up to the preacher or the minister. Oh man, Kenny and Francis, were you guys up in Sturgis when that little boy's eye got fixed? Were you there? This little boy, there's a family from, I think, down in Arkansas or someplace like that. I don't know when they were from folks. I don't remember where the little boy from, but his eye was just over here. He's about 6 years old. They weren't Christians. He's about 6 years old. And his eye is over here. And you know, Chariots of Light out there on the streets at Sturgis, just reaching out and grabbing people, shaking their hand and introducing them to Jesus. And, you know, this one fellow, he said, "Hey, can we pray for your son? Something's wrong with his eye. We can see that. It's obvious. Can we pray for him?" And these guys, they just prayed for him and they just ministered to him. And there's a good possibility gift of the Spirit was in manifestation. Gifts of healings at work. And they all stood there and watched that little boy's eye come right into line. Right in front of mom and dad. Right into line. You know what? They had mom and dad's attention. Guess what they got to do? Lead them to the Lord. They got to introduce them to Jesus. Wow. Why do we want these gifts of the Spirit? For reasons like that. I'm going to bounce back and tell just a little story from last week with the word of knowledge. When Star Academy was in operation down here, Teresa Eyrick, they've now moved to Wyoming. She is a part of this church for a long time. And they went out to Star Academy on a Saturday morning, and they're ministering to the teenage boys that, you know, they're in trouble out there. And they're ministering to them, and they're greeting kids and talking to them and different things like that. And Teresa had a number of questions for them before she ministered. And do you believe in God? What do you think about God? And stuff like that. And you got a lot of different responses. And there were definitely some atheists. Didn't believe. And then Teresa got a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge was this. There's somebody in here and your name is Alex. And you got a little puppy. And you love that little puppy. That little puppy is really important to you. That's kind of random. So Teresa just said, you know, I got this in my heart from God. There's someone in here. Your name is Alex. And so, you know, I'm not just guessing. You have a little puppy, and you love your little puppy really much. Who are you? And this young man raises his hand and goes, "That's me." He was one of the ones who said, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe God exists." But at the end of that service, he was born again. God got his attention. Why do we want these things? For the profit of all. So little boys get healed. So people get born again and get saved. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know, the gift of faith, it's said this way, often receives a miracle. And this is what Lester Summerall would share. So, not Lester Summerall, Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth, and it's either 27 or 28 people raised from the dead through his ministry. I don't remember which one it was, 27, 28. I'm sure of this number. 14 were confirmed medically dead. You know, hospital doctor confirmed them dead. They were dead. Diagnosed, dead, no heartbeat, no nothing, dead. And he raised 27 or 28 people from the dead through his ministry. And this was his testimony. This is where, you know, definitions vary. This is where gifts work together. And do this. Refuse to argue with other believers over the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? Wouldn't that be stupid? I don't think that's right. And they totally forget about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Comes right. Has this ever happened in the body of Christ? Yes, way too much. So anyway, you know, I'm not going to argue or fight with anybody about it. I've got some things settled in my heart. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I don't know it all. Wow, did I actually say that? Some of you are shocked.
He actually said that out loud? I've known that for years. But anyway, Smith Wigglesworth said when he'd be praying for somebody who's dead, he'd come to the end of his faith. He knew, that's where my faith stops. And something would kick in. And he'd take another step by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And there's a really good possibility. Three gifts are at work at the same time here. One, faith. Special faith. Two, working of miracles. And three, gifts of healings. Why gifts of healings? Well, whatever that person died from could kick right back in, they'd die again. But the gift of healing is an operation. Not only are they raised from the dead, they're healed. And there's a miracle that took place. Amen? So I want to keep going here. Just in some, the gift of faith often is used when it comes to receiving a miracle. The working of miracles, the gift of working of miracles, is at work when a miracle is worked. Amen? And then the gifts of healings. Do you ever wonder why it's gifts of healings and not gift of healing? Why it's plural instead of singular? Here's what Heidi Baker, and I just read this the other day, here's what she said, what she's noticed. She has noticed people who operate in the gifts of healings that lots of times they will operate, like they'll find themselves, she noticed where people find themselves praying for somebody that has ear problems. And as they pray for people that have ear problems, you know, and minister to them, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, they have just great success. And then they want to minister to somebody who's got growths on their body, and they have almost no success at all. But then she's noticed, and this person over here ministers to people who have growths and has incredible success. But when it comes to praying for people who are deaf, almost no success at all. I found that really interesting reading it from Heidi Baker, because Kenneth Hagin, when he crisscrossed the nation through the Great Healing Revival, that was something that he took note of as well. There would be people that would minister to a specific sickness and have just great success in that vein, and over here, almost zero success. Again, when you pray for people, would you please pay attention? And if you find an area where, wow, every time I pray for somebody who has bad ears, they just get healed. Boom, 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 boom. It's the easiest thing in the world. But over here, how cool would it be if we knew this as a body of believers? And someone comes up and says, I've got an ear problem. And the person goes, you know what? I haven't had the world's greatest success in that area, but if you go right down there, I mean, I tell you what, she prayed for just about everybody she ever prays for with ear hearing problems to get healed. Amen. Here, let me give you another practical example of this. I go to Sturgis. I was looking at pictures. I'm excited about going up to Sturgis this year. Makes me crazy nervous because I'm so far out of my comfort zone, it isn't funny. Now, Kenny and Francis, you're never out of your comfort zone up there, are you? Totally. We're just like right in there. But I get really uncomfortable. It's not my comfort zone. You know how many people I have led to the Lord when I go up to Sturgis? And I've gone a number of days, spent the day up there, just talking to people on the street, shaking their hands, praying with them, you know, introduce them to Christ. You know how many people I've gotten to lead to the Lord? One. What's that lady's name? She's Asian. The Hurricane. And there's a reason she has that name. What is it? Tarina. She will probably lead anywhere from 100 to 200 people a day to the Lord. Wow. Why? Giftings. You know, differences in ministry. Does that make me inferior to her? Does that make me unnecessary? No, it doesn't. Do you ever wonder why? I'm bouncing all over the place. I hope you're getting something out of this. You are. If you're not, it's your fault.
not mine. Because the Holy Ghost is here teaching and he's helping me. I just think it's so fascinating in here in Corinthians that, you know, you got verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things through distributing to each one individually as one. Notice verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members do not have the same, members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Isn't that interesting? He goes right from the gifts to the body. And then if you keep on reading, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Well, because I don't have the gift of special faith, I'm not important. Wrong. Because I don't have the gift of evangelism, I'm not important. Wrong. I'm very important. Why don't you say that about you? Seriously, say that about you. I mean it. Say it right now about you. Yeah. I bet you most of us don't know how important we are. I'm very important. Nope, I don't have that gift. Nope, I don't have that gift. But you know what? I'm important. And don't let anybody just say to you, you know, because you don't have this, you're... You know what they are if they say that? Wrong. If they say that, they're wrong. I love the differences. I love the uniquenesses. Special faith. Special faith is often when we're used in receiving something. Working of miracles, often used when a miracle is worked. Gifts of healings are at work by the Holy Spirit when a believer ministers to somebody and that person receives a healing. And how many of you know that person might not even be born again? Do you know God heals people who aren't born again? Yeah, all the time. It's a great way to get their attention. How many of you know that the miracles and the signs and wonders that Jesus did got people's attention? Amen? Now, that's not what we live by, but it sure gets people's attention. Amen? Hallelujah. I would love it if we would all make a greater endeavor to pursue the gifts of the Spirit more earnestly. Why? For the profit of all. You get over into 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and it says, well, since you are zealous for the gifts of the Spirit, that's a good thing, let it be for the edification of the body. Does the world, and do people in the world and of the world, do we ever see this, look at me? You know, by athletes or movie stars or different people, is it a lot of attention drawn to me? The people, maybe, I don't know if I'm connecting here. Am I communicating? Because I seem to lose you all right when I started with that thought. Do a lot of people in the world want to be looked at? Want to be noticed, want to be elevated. Yeah. Not so among us. Not so among us. Yeah, I want the gifts of the Spirit. But you know what? Not so everybody will go talking about, wow, Pastor Joel. No. I want the gifts of the Spirit because of the benefit and the blessings they bring on people. For the edification of the body of Christ, for the building up of each and every one of us in here. Amen? Hallelujah. Is that a good place to quit? I think so. So we'll go ahead and stop right there. Amen. I feel good about what we got done. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're done. I that was a little test. You know, if you get done preaching and people just pop up right away when you're done, it's a sign you went too long. Now, the reverse could be true. They don't pop up right away because you put them all to sleep. You can look at that any way you want, okay? No, I don't think I put you all to sleep at all by any stretch of the imagination. But Bob, did Lisa go next door?
Yes.
She went next door. Well, guess what we have downstairs? And the worship team can come on up if you want, sweetheart. I am actually done. I'm quitting. For now. Guess what we have downstairs? Cinnamon rolls. Gifts. Yeah, we have gifts in operation. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you here, you have, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but guys, I do this every Sunday. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing it. I think of George Krismer, and I'm just, a lot of you have heard his testimony, some of you haven't. George Krismer went to a Baptist church for about 6 years. He actually taught Sunday school in that Baptist church. He worked in the sound booth and worked the camera in that Baptist church for approximately 6 years. Then he went to an Assembly of God church. And he went to that church for a year and was getting involved. And every Wednesday night, the pastor would invite people to come up for three different things. If you need to be born again, if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or if you need healing in your body. And every Wednesday night, that's what the pastor would do. George comes forward on a Wednesday night. And the pastor just, George, you need healing in your body? What do you need healing for? And George goes, no, I didn't come here for healing. I came here because I need to be born again. He had attended church for 6 years and never received Jesus. And the mind-blowing part for me, he attended a Baptist church for 6 years and didn't receive Christ. Because I tell you what, the Baptists, they're up there at the top of folks winning people to Jesus. They're passionate about that, praise God. So I give an invitation every Sunday because you can't just assume that everybody has received Jesus. So let's all go ahead and stand up. And I'm getting to pray for people today because our prayer team folks are all, they're out and about. They're off doing other things. So I'm going to close us with a word of prayer. There's, you know, gifts downstairs. There's fellowship downstairs. There's, how many of you have heard about this? There was this minister, a couple ministers at a table in a restaurant. And this lady, she had her dessert. That's all she got was dessert. And she prayed over her dessert. And in her prayer, she goes, and I rebuke you calories in the name of Jesus. And a minister, he just couldn't help it. He went by and he goes, ma'am, I don't know how to break it to you, but that kind only goes out through prayer and fasting. But there's no calories baked into the caramel rolls and cinnamon rolls downstairs. None, amen? Well, I did read a verse of scripture, and no deadly thing that you drink will hurt you. You know, I'm going to release faith on that in today's world and all the stuff that gets put into our food. I thank you, Father, that this food does me good and no harm. Does me good and no harm. The pestilence, things like that. Amen. It's a worthy prayer. It's a worthy prayer. Praise God. If you're in this place today and you have never received Jesus Christ as your